So then he says that as a prerequisite for degenerate bodhicitta, one need to develop the intention of the part which is common to the middle school person, or the sense of renunciation, the desire to achieve liberation for oneself. So, His Holiness is reading the text. You have thus become mindful of death and reflected on the way you fall to bad migrations after death. You have turned your mind away from this existence, so that an interest and striving for the happy realms developed, and through giving up harmful actions by way of common refuge and certainty regarding the effects of positive and negative karma, you will indeed attain the level of happy realms. However, that is not held to be sufficient here. Rather, once the thoughts common to lesser beings have developed, it is necessary to train in thoughts common to intermediate beings. For when you have developed the thoughts common to intermediate beings, which counteract one's attachment to cyclic existence as a whole, they will lead you to the level of the great beings, as based on them, you develop the mind for enlightenment or bodhicitta. The reason for this necessity is that even though you attain divine or human states in this manner, you will not have passed beyond the suffering of conditioned existence, which is why the understanding that they are happy by nature is mistaken. In reality, they are devoid of happiness and ultimately bad, because you are certain to fall to bad migrations again. And the topic, the actual training in those thoughts, the measure of the development, elimination of misconceptions about this, determining the path leading to liberation. So first, in order to generate this sense of renunciation or the desire for liberation, you should know what this liberation is. So, with this, as to identify what this liberation is, what this nirvana is. So there, in the ancient Indian traditions, some of the traditions, they are not at all the propounder of any existence of nirvana. And whereas there are some Hindu or the non-Buddhist non-Buddhist philosophies in ancient India who proposed the idea of liberation. So, basically, liberation is something of a character which is a state of a freedom from kind of bond. So, what is that bond? What is that thing? This process of getting trapped in samsara. So it is actually the five different contaminated aggregates. Those are the things which are the ways by which the sentient beings are trapped. And what causes these different five contaminated aggregates? They are actually caused by the contaminated actions or karmas, which in turn are caused by the delusions. So, now, if somebody really aspires to achieve that state of liberation, so what should he be doing? Is that, first of all, he should overcome the ignorance or the self-grasping mind, which gives rise to all other delusions. If the delusions are eradicated, so then there would be no new accumulation of karmas, contaminated karmas. And on top of that, even if those previously accumulated karmas are there, but because that there is no delusions which does the function of nourishing those karmas, because in the absence of these delusions nourishing the karmas become inactive, inactive in giving rise to the samsara or giving rise to this bondage in ways of the five contaminated aggregates. So that is the way you should understand the freedom from the contaminated aggregates, or freedom from the trap, getting trapped in samsara. And the text reads, liberation is freedom from bonds. Specifically, there are two things binding one in cyclic existence, karma and the afflictions. Through their power, there are three realms, those of desire, etc., and five or six kinds of beings, gods, etc., that may be distinguished, and in terms of the modes of birth, there are four, such as from a womb, in which the aggregates may be reborn. This is the essence of bonds, and therefore, liberation is to be free from that. So those composite things which are produced by delusions and or afflictions and the respective karmas. So those things which are produced by these two agents are called suffering, and those agents, the karma and the afflictions, they are the origin of the suffering, and the cessation of those causes. The cessation of those causes, afflictions, along with the contaminated actions, is this truth of cessation. And that path, which understands the concept of selflessness, which leads to the state of that cessation, is called the truth of the path. So this then comprises the Four Noble Truths. So this word, affliction, so Shantideva, in the Bodhisattva Charyavatara, he said that this affliction has to be abandoned by way of employing the remedy of the wisdom, the eye of the wisdom. So, through the power of afflictions or delusions, then one tend to have a feeling of uneasiness, feeling of disturbance. So that feeling of disturbance and uneasiness, unsatisfactoriness, is the suffering, the truth of suffering. So, this very agent, the afflictions, which gives rise to the state of suffering, that is to be eradicated consciously or intentionally arising or generating a wisdom which is in direct opposition to those delusions in ways of apprehension. So by generating those remedies, the wisdom, then when you arrive at a stage whereby you eradicate the delusions altogether, so that state is called the state of the cessation. That is the third truth, the truth of cessation. So what His Holiness has been saying proudly is that in Shantideva's text, the Bodhisattva Charyavatara, or Guide to the Bodhisattva's Way of Life, so there he's actually mentioned that the affliction, and then the line bears two words, two same words, the afflictions and the afflictions which are to be abandoned by the eye of the wisdom. So here the first word of the affliction in the first the The first word of the affliction has to be understood in the context of the suffering nature that the person, because of that arousal of those days of the afflictions, one becomes so kind of so pale, so feeble, and very less powered or energetic, less energetic. So that state becomes so feeble and meek that one feels unsatisfied, one feels so depressed, one feels unhappy. And then the second, the affliction, the word, so that is to be understood as that very mental attitude, mental factor, which brings about that experience of feebleness. So then in so when you speak about liberation, so actually we should consider the delusions as the enemies. So we should bring about a kind of remedy, a kind of a power to overcome that delusion. So if you could really employ those kind of the remedies and overcome the enemy of the delusions, so there you achieve the victory. So that achievement of victory is the liberation. So it's a Chinese word, I don't know.